Testing, testing. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Okay, let's everyone come on in. Let's come on in, get seated. Because I'm childlike?
You are childlike.
I am child. That's the truth. Some say childish.
Childish.
Some say. So where's your husband today? Where's your husband?
Oh, he's working. He had 3 funerals today. Yeah, he won't be coming in late.
I loved embarrassing him. I don't think he got embarrassed. He didn't get embarrassed. Did you notice that?
I know.
He's got 3 funerals. He won't be here.
Yeah, he's furious.
That sounds so funny.
That
does sound funny.
I know. To me, now it's so normal, but to people who don't.
Yeah.
He's got 3 funerals.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, y'all ready to go? Nice. How's everybody today?
Good.
Everybody feeling better?
Yeah.
Good. No, Sherry's shaking her head. She's not feeling better. Can't get her coat off. Oh, okay. Okay, well, let's pray, and then we'll start our class. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the very pretty day that you've given us today. Father, thank you for the weather that you give us every day, whether it's challenging or beautiful or warm or cold. Help us to realize, Lord, that it's all from your hand. It's all in your eternal plans. And Father, I pray we would just always appreciate that. I pray we'd appreciate the beautiful world in which we live. Father, we know that there are terrible things that go on in the world every day, but help us at the same time to realize that you've created a very beautiful place,
yes.
A veil of soul making, as it were, from which we can look at you and see you and see all the things you've done, and we can draw near to you and we can draw others near to you as you use us. Father, thank you so much for allowing us the physical health to get up this morning. Please be with all of our brothers and sisters who aren't able to be here today because of illness. We pray you especially be at Jermaine Wiley today and bless him and provide for him. Father, also those others who are chronically ill that aren't able to be here today, please bless them and pray that they will be encouraged, although they may not be in the fellowship this morning. Father, thank you so much for your son, Jesus. Thank you that we have a wonderful example to follow, that we can really follow in his steps, that's not an impossible mission. But, Father, by your grace and your power and by the holiness you instill in us, Lord, we can be like him. And I pray that, Lord, we would just work so hard every day. We would be so focused every day that we really want to be like Jesus with the people we're around, with our friends out in the world, with strangers in the world, Father, with one another, so that we really can show people how meaningful life can be if we have a relationship with him. Father, please bless us now. Give us enlightened hearts. Give us hearts that are open to your word. And help us, Lord, just to leave here this morning just being more conformed and transformed into the image of Jesus than we ever have been before. We pray in Jesus' name now. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So we're continuing our study in 1 Peter, and just kind of a quick review from what we looked at last week. We talked last week about 4 aspects of holiness. We talked about 2 of those aspects that Peter introduces us to. One was the concept of foreigners or colonialists, if we might call them that, as to what we are in this world. We're sojourners. We're strangers in the world. We're living in a country that is not our own, and yet it's the country in which we reside. We also talked about the role of the prophets, apostles, and angels, how that they spoke about these things, they preached about them. Angels long to look into these things, the holy life that we're living. And it really, I hope you understand, and we'll talk about this more, that what we are doing, the life that we're living, is really a big deal in heaven. It is a super big deal. And so they're watching us, not in an accusatory way or a way like we sometimes think, but they're watching us in a way that they're cheering us on, really want us to do well, and that what is transpiring in the colony of the kingdom on earth, the church, it's just a very big deal in heaven. And we need to realize the importance of what we're doing, but also rejoice in that. Today we're going to pick up on the last two pieces of holiness in this first section. And we'll talk about blessings, the blessings we have from God that Peter introduces here. And we're also introduced at the very end of the class some things about suffering that Peter introduces as well. This is what kind of our summation that we talked about last week. Before we were created, God picked us out for the purpose of being separated for His use. So before you even existed, before the earth was created, you were picked out in the mind of God and for separation for His use. And I think that ought to realize the high calling to which we've been called to. We talked about this concept of foreigners being colonialists. Once more, this is a picture of another picture of Jamestown, an artist's conception, and I think it really shows well what a colony looks like. You have here the colonialists, and out here you have the wilderness surrounding it. They're part of the wilderness, and yet they're separate from the wilderness. Now, we do have a correction from our school teacher. Not this guy. X him out. But our school teacher made a correction last week. She didn't hit my hand with a ruler or anything. You know, Sherry, she's very gentle about things. Jamestown is not the same as the lost colony. I said that last week. It's not the same. The lost colony was on Roanoke Island, North Carolina. Is that correct, Sherry?
Correct.
All right. Always good to have a school teacher in Bible class.
Yeah.
Always works out well for you if we wanted to listen to that. So, yeah, so that's, anyway, they're different. So just get that clarification out of the way there, so don't want to say anything weird. So let's talk about this morning about the blessings that Peter brings up in chapter 1, starting in verse 1 and really going through chapter 16. We're going to look at some of those. Some of them flow over to other places, but I want us to look at those this morning. There's like 19 separate blessings that we have as people who are holy. And we're not going to look at these each one by one by one. We'll talk about them and what verses they're located in, and then we'll make some comments throughout this, and then we're going to wrap it up with talking about introducing the concept of suffering. First of all, and I've tried to put these in kind of order in which you list them, and so I'm going to leave these up here long enough for you to write them down, or if you have a camera, you're going to take a snapshot of it, however you want to do that. But these are the blessings that we have as being holy people. Chapter 1, verse 2, he says, we are chosen, we are selected. That's what chosen means. It means to pick out of a group. Verse 5, he says, who through faith are shielded by God's power unto the coming of the salvation that is ready revealed in this last time. I think I wrote down the wrong verse on that. I'm sorry, verse 2. I wrote down the wrong verse here. For obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkled by His blood. They understood the concept of sprinkling in blood, because that's what happened in the Holy of Holies. They would go into the holy place and they would sprinkle blood on the altar as a sign that the Jews were being forgiven of their sins once a year. Those sins were being rolled forward and not held against them for that year. And so when you see here sprinkled by His blood, writing to an audience of Jews who become Christians, that was a really big idea in their mind. And it's not as big an idea in our mind because we don't have that whole altar thing going on. We don't really understand that concept. But that is a blessing that He brought out to them if they've been sprinkled by His blood. Another blessing from God, and this is brought up in Peter a lot, is grace. Chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance." In verse 10, he says, "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was come to you searched intently." And then in verse 13, he says, "Therefore prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed." So grace, and you remember Richard preached about this for quite a few weeks. Grace is a gift to us. It's not something we earn. It's not something we can go out and purchase. We can't be holy enough to achieve the grace of God. Grace is a gift. Grace is something that... there's a phrase I wanted to use. I can't think what it is. It's getting what you need and not what you deserve. Grace is getting what you need and not what you deserve. And when you give somebody what they need, like to your child, and not what they deserve, you know, they probably deserve to, you know, have the little spanking. But instead of a spanking, you basically talk to them calmly and love them and tell them you love them anyway, and they go give the collective sigh of relief, you know, if they didn't catch it. That's showing grace. It's giving people what they need and not what they deserve. And that's what a gift of God is, grace. Another great gift of God he mentions here in chapter 1, verse 2, is peace.
Amen.
Is peace. I think if you were to ask everybody pretty much on the planet what one thing they would like more than anything else, they would probably say peace. Peace of mind. Peace with my family. Peace with my neighbors. Peace at work.
Yes.
Just let me have a little peace.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And he says, that's what you get by being a follower of Jesus. You get peace.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, I found out that the longer I am as a Christian, that how much more important that is to me.
Yes.
But it's also something that God seems to give me more and more of, is peace.
Amen.
So if you haven't been a Christian very long and you're not very peaceful, just hang in there. It'll get there. You'll get it now, but it'll come. God always provides peace. And then in verse 3, "Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth." So we get new birth. That's a blessing from God. Verse 2, he says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance." I wanted to share a couple of words here this morning. One, abundance means to cause to increase. To increase or multiply. That's what the literal Greek word means. The literal meaning of the Greek word is to cause to increase or multiply. And if you look real quickly over in Acts two verses in Acts. Look in Acts chapter 7 and verse 17. Just give you a little bit of flavor of the word. Acts 7 and verse 17. He says, "As the time drew near for God to fulfill His promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased." And that's the same word that he's talking about when he uses that word abundance over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Abundance, to greatly increase. Look in chapter 12 and verse 24 of Acts. Luke uses this word a lot, by the way. And he uses abundance, that word for abundance, in different contexts. But get this one. This is one we're very familiar with. "But the word of God continued to increase and spread." And we understand what that means, don't we? Okay. Now, if you'll take that same definition and go back over here to chapter 1 and verse 2 of 1 Peter, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance," or "Grace and peace be yours, and it will increase and spread in your life." So, the more, as you get older, the more you realize you need grace, right?
Right.
But you know you need more, and God says, "Okay, you need more, then I'm going to give you more."
Wow.
He doesn't give you less because you're a Christian and you ought to know better. And sometimes we think that. We think, well, I ought to know better. So I'm sure God's going to really be tough on me about this. No. He says, I know you know better. That's why you need it even more. You know, I'm going to give it to you more than what I used to give. Now, in a way, not more than what I used to give, but in another way, he does give it to you more because you need it more. And so that's a blessing from God, is grace and peace and abundance. And I saw that word the other day. I thought, what a great word to use for what we have. The second group of blessings, let's continue with these. Hope, or living hope. In verse 3, he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope. Verse 13, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. And then we're kind of going to go out of our context of what we're going to talk about today. But in verse 21, he says, at the end of the verse, and so your faith and hope are in God. Hope is a blessing. Again, it's one of those things that everybody wants, but few people have. Most people today have no hope. They don't have any hope of the world getting any better. They don't have any hope of their marriage getting any better, of things getting any better, their children, of their lives getting any better. They have no hope. They are hopeless. Like sheep without a shepherd, Jesus called them. But you and I get hope. And I think that's one of the great messages we need to share with the pagans in which we live, that they can have hope. I think that's more of a message we need to talk about, is peace and hope. Sin's important to talk with people, but peace and hope are just as important to talk with to people. Because we have it, share it. Inheritance. Verse 4. Now we'll come back and talk about inheritance in just a moment. That's a blessing. Oops. Faith is a blessing from God. It's a gift from God. Verse 5, he says, who through faith are shielded by God's power. Verse 7, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold. Verse 9, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And then in verse 21 again, and so your faith and hope are in God. We sometimes think mistakenly that faith is something that we almost self-create. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Okay, so if I read my Bible, then I'm going to have more faith. That's true. But faith is also a present from God to you. It's very special. It's not something that you create, but it's something that God chooses to give to you. So there's nothing wrong with praying for more faith. Oh, I should have enough faith as it is. Shouldn't we all? Right? There's nothing wrong with asking for greater faith, for more faith. And I want to encourage you that if you feel you have little faith, use the faith you have, but it's okay to pray for more. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. I think God says, okay, I'll give you that. You know, I'm not going to give you a new Cadillac, but I'll give you more faith. Okay. Another blessing is that we're shielded by God's power in verse 5. He says, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. I want you to think about what that means just for a quick second here. Shielded by God's power. Do you know all the trouble I could have been in if I had not been shielded by God's power? Some of you are going, yeah, you really could have been in a lot of trouble, Gary. Yeah. Do you realize how much trouble and danger? In fact, we don't know. I really think this. I think when I'm going to get to heaven, and God and Jesus have their little talk with me when I get there, I think they're going to say, let's show you what we helped you escape from. Wow. You didn't even know it was coming. Ooh. And I'm going to go, wow. Yeah, wow. We are really shielded from a lot of stuff.
It's true. It's true.
And I don't think we even realize it sometimes. You know, sometimes we can look back and see it, that if so-and-so would happen, what would happen? But I think for the most part, we just don't really see it very well. We won't see it till we get to heaven. But being shielded by God's power is an incredible blessing. And I hope we really, you may not appreciate it now, but I think you're going to appreciate it when you get to heaven. Salvation, and we'll come back and talk about this a lot, but I just want to point out the verses to you. Verse 9, he says, until the coming of the salvation is ready to be revealed. I'm sorry, verse 5. Verse 9, you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And then verse 10, he says, concerning this salvation, the prophets spoke about it. So, salvation is a gift from God. Okay. Let's talk about inheritance. Inheritance. Inheritance, he says in verse 4, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Inheritance means a lot of inherited property, for example, real estate or property. Now, we all understand that, don't we? We understand getting inheritance money. Maybe not much, but you know, some of us got an inheritance money. Some of us don't ever get inheritance money. The only things we get as inheritance from our family, maybe our keepsakes, right? You know, your parents finally give you that box of snapshots they made of you when you was a little kid. You know, that's your inheritance. That's what I got. Snapshots and my report cards. Which all said basically the same thing. He's talking too much in class. But that's a whole other issue. We won't talk about that anymore. Okay. But if you look in Acts chapter 7 and verse 5, this word inheritance is used. And this is one of those words that to guys who were men and women who were Jews who become Christians was full of meaning to them because they were dwelling in the promised land that was their inheritance. And in verse 5, Stephen again uses this word and he says, he gave him, speaking of Abraham, he gave him no inheritance here, not even a foot of ground, but God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham had no child. And so that's the concept of inheritance. He didn't get it there, but he's going to get it. His children will get it, and he inherited heaven later on, Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, so it's that same concept with us, is that we have an inheritance from God that we don't receive now. Sometimes that's a little disconcerting to us. But we've got to keep looking forward to the inheritance. And I would encourage you to read Hebrews chapter 11. Read Hebrews 11, because it talks a lot about having faith, getting the inheritance of things that are not seen. Remember, we're living in this colony on earth, but our inheritance is not the colony on earth. Our inheritance is something that's somewhere else. The part of the kingdom that's in heaven. Okay? Peter uses three really cool words here, literally. It says, this inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. The first word for perish is incorruptible. The second word for spoil is undefiled. And the third word for fading, obviously, is it's unfading. And that's what those words literally mean. They're incorruptible. Our inheritance is undefiled and is unfading. And you compare that to inheritances you get now. They all spoil, perish, spoil, or fade. It's kind of like that box of photographs I got from my brother one time that he gave me. He found this box of photographs, and so I went back and, you know, he separated mine from me that would pertain to me, and I looked at them, and a lot of the photographs have faded. Now, when they were first taken, they were clear, but they're fading now. Some of them don't exist anymore, okay? He says, our inheritance doesn't do that. Everything you have now will do that, but your inheritance from God will not. So that's an incredible promise. Now, turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I want to talk to you just quickly about praying for blessings. In the middle of all this, I tried to figure out where to put this. I thought, let's just put it in the middle. We'll take a little break, a little bit of a break from talking about blessings for a minute. And we have blessings. We need to pray for more blessings. Now, I know there wasn't a big amen to that because some of us are going, are you sure we're supposed to do that? That's kind of one of those things. Go, oh, really? Am I supposed to do that? 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. Let's talk quickly about this guy named Jabez. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Now, thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
You know, son, you're a pain to me. I didn't name your other brothers that. They're blessing and glorious and wonderful, but you're a pain. You know, you get a name like that, you pretty much know the rest of your life is going to be a little challenging, right? So his mother names him Jabez, or painful one, and it might have been because of birth. Who knows why? The birth was hard. Who knows what? Maybe he's a little kid. She knew he was going to be a pain in parts of her body that we won't talk about in church. But, you know, so she names him pain. So he cries out to the God of Israel, which you would, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. Some versions translate that, keep me from evil so that I will do no pain. Lord, don't keep me away from evil things or evil people, or let me be evil, because if I'm exposed to those things, I'm probably going to hurt somebody else in the process. And God granted his request. Now, a few years ago, I read this book. How many of y'all read that book? The Prayer of Jabez. Okay. It'd be a good idea to pull that book out and read it again. And if you ain't read it, go buy it. Okay? By Bruce Wilkinson. And what it is just about this prayer. And he breaks down the prayer and talks about his life and stories in his life. But the whole thought is asking God to bless you. And if you read through the Bible, there's nothing wrong with that. And I read this book one time. It's been sitting in my house for years before I read it. And it really transformed my life. It really did. Because it made me realize that God is like a father to me, like my children looked at me. And when my children came to me and wanted certain things, I knew certain things were bad for them and we would give them. But certain things they came and asked me for, I was so quick to say yes. And you gotta think about God like that. He's like this father who wants to spoil his children in a good way. He's not this father who's always wanting to teach them these hard lessons of life, which is the way some of our fathers were, so we transpose that image onto him. He's like this father. The truth is, he's like a grandfather. I'm just saying. Pretty much my grandkids are going to get what they want. They live in the kingdom of yes when they come to our house. Okay. Now, I know there are certain things I'm not going to give them, and I'm going to be hard about that. If they're disobedient, whatever, I'm going to discipline as much as I'm allowed to discipline them, which isn't much, but I'm still going to do the right thing with that. But on the other hand, too, there's not too much I'm going to say no to them about, because I know now I'm not going to hurt them, which I thought was going to hurt my children, but it doesn't hurt them, okay? And God's like that. He is just literally dying to bless you. And that's why you read in 1 Peter, you see all those blessings, because that's what he's really like. He's not like this guy who's just holding stuff back, seeing if you'll jump through hoops to get it. He's not that way at all. So, get that book. It's good for you to purchase that one. and read about it. And that's a wonderful story there about Jabez. Okay, let's continue on with our blessings. Going back to 1 Peter. What are we doing here? Oh, we're doing great on time. We're going to kind of scroll through these real fast and then look at one other group and then we'll look at something else. So, another blessing, verse 6, is we get to rejoice. And we tie that in with joy. It's basically the same root word. Verse 6, he said, in these you greatly rejoice. You not only get to rejoice, we get to greatly rejoice. We get to really enjoy life. Verse 8, through him, you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. So we are blessed. Joy is a blessing. And you think, well, I don't feel that happy. Listen, just go to work tomorrow and pay attention. I challenge you to that tomorrow. Just go to work tomorrow and pay attention. You're going to go, yeah, I'm a pretty happy guy. I feel pretty good about life. Because, boy, it doesn't take long to be around people who are not following. And I'm saying your co-workers don't follow Jesus. Some do, some don't, I imagine. But just go pay attention tomorrow. That's a blessing. Verse 7, praise, glory, and honor is a blessing. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And I think he's talking about here about praise, glory, and honor for us. I don't know that he's talking about praise, glory, and honor for Jesus, although that's dealt with in the book. I think he might be talking about us right here. That's just kind of my little opinion on that. That we're going to receive praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. When you think about it, Jesus said, he talked about a parable one time that he says, when you come into the kingdom, you know how that God is going to serve you. That's in one of the parables of Jesus, that the Son of Man will serve you. Just think about that. Verse 11, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in him was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. We're going to have glories. Glories is a blessing. And then holiness in verses 15 and 16, which we talked about last week. And we'll continue that whole concept of holiness, but holiness is a blessing from God. Holiness is not something you obtain because of how good you're doing. It's something that God gives you because of who he is. Wow. Okay? Wow. And I'll beat that drum. You'll go, don't say it again. I'm going to beat that drum over and over and over. Yeah. You don't obtain holiness. Holiness is a gift from God. Amen. The last group, and I just want to, let's talk about, let me just write these down if you would. The blessing of the revealing of Jesus, verses 13 and 20, is a gift. The blessing of having alert and fully sober mind. In that, that's a real good one. Verse 13, the blessing of being an obedient child. Verse 14, that's a blessing from God. I really like the alert and fully sober mind. I like that one. I definitely didn't have that before I became a Christian. Let's talk about the first one here, though, redeemed. Verse 18. He says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. Redeemed means this. It is a payment which releases a man from an obligation, or woman, I guess I should have put that up there, right? From an obligation which otherwise he or she was bound to fulfill. For example, it was used in parchments and so forth, expressing that an owner had redeemed a slave's freedom.
He had purchased a slave and then given him freedom. He had redeemed the slave from his freedom. It was used, they had pawn shops back then. It was used for pawn shop redemption. That when you would sell something, you pawn it off to get the money, and you went back to buy the product back, you would taking your redeeming coupon. I don't think they had that, but they'd go back in and actually buy the product back and pay back the loan. Has anybody ever gone to a pawn shop before? Ever used a pawn shop? I've never. I don't even know how they function. I've seen them. So people, good experience, bad experience.
Awesome.
Oh, awesome. Oh, wow. Maybe I need to go there more often. I've never been to one before. Okay. So those of us who kind of understand these concepts, that's what he's talking about when he says you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you. That Jesus went in, basically, you were bought, as it were, by Satan. And Jesus went in and paid a ransom to free you. That's a pretty cool thought if you think about it. That you were owned by Satan. And Jesus goes in and says, let me pay the ransom for them. Well, it's going to cost so much. Well, how much is it going to cost? Well, it's going to cost your blood. Okay. And that's what redeem means. It means to, and this is a word that's used, concept is used a lot in 1 Peter. So we'll talk about this some more. But we have been redeemed. And the concept of purchasing a slave's freedom, we're going to spend a lot of time one day talking about slavery in the first century. It'll give us a little bit more vivid image of what that means. But it's the same thing, that a slave could buy his own freedom, or someone could buy him and then free him. So that's what redeem means, and that's a blessing from God. Okay, let's talk about, just introduce suffering, and then we'll be through. We'll take about 3 minutes and introduce it. The other thing that Peter addresses in the first 16 verses of chapter 1 is suffering. So he talks about foreigners. He talks about prophets and apostles and angels and their role in our holiness. He talks about the blessings from God in the role of our holiness. And then he brings up, introduces the concept of suffering. Peter talks about suffering. He addresses suffering more than any other book in all of the Bible. He uses the word suffering 18 times more than any other book uses the word suffering. And he talks about it in verses 6 and 7 and verse 11. He says these, that is, going back to verse 6, talking about the blessings, but in the middle of it, he says, in this you greatly rejoice. And they go, yeah, we are. Though for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come, that is, the grief suffering experiences have come, so that your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, that is, gold does, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Suffering is a fire that tests the genuineness of our faith. Now, that's not the only purpose of it. That's just one of the purposes he discusses. God doesn't bring suffering to us just to see if we're the real deal. He uses suffering sometimes for that, but that is one of the purposes of suffering. Okay? Verse 11, but he basically says, but just so you'll know that you're not the only one I've done this with, he says, talking about the prophets, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glory that would follow. He says, Jesus is also had to suffer just like you, says on Hebrews 4, for his genuineness to be tested and for his glory to be revealed. So God says, I'm not bringing anything on you that I have not allowed to happen to my own son. And so we're just going to kind of wrap it all up with that little bow this morning, because I think sometimes we think that, you know, and I think Richard showed that thing after the Newtown shootings. When things go bad, I mean, we just jump on God in a heartbeat. And we don't think through, because it's hard to. I understand that. It's hard to think through, well, I know God allowed this. Okay, I'm going to accept that. But is there a reason for Him allowing it? Because that's harder to think about. It's easier just to get mad than to think about things, right? It is for me. And so, suffering, and Peter talks about this a lot, so we'll address it later on. Suffering is to test the genuineness of our faith, is one of its reasons. Okay? So, we're through. It's 20 till. Go get your children and hurry back. Thanks.